Blog Talk Radio.
Stacy Thursdays here on Real Talk with Lee. We have Miss Joan Curtis live in the building today. Joan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing this morning, Joan?
I'm doing great, Lee. How are you?
Oh, I'm just hanging in there. And Joan, for the listeners who may not know who Joan Curtis is, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm an author, and I've just published a book, which is a mystery, called The Clock Strikes Midnight. It's my first attempt at fiction writing, and it's gotten some great reviews, so your listeners can check it out on Amazon already. I have written four other books, which are business books, primarily about communications, because I have spent my career as a communications coach and consultant. So that's a teeny little bit about me.
Now, how did you get into writing, Joan? Is that something you always knew you would do, or is it something that came through, like, different life experiences?
Well, it's a little of both. I don't know where it happens when you think you want to write. I remember in high school writing term papers, and that was always a struggle. Probably everyone can relate to that. And at the time, of course, when I was in high school, I was banging it out on a typewriter and having to make corrections, which people don't have to do anymore. But I do remember teachers supporting it and saying that I wrote well, and also my mother did the same thing. And I think that early support helped give me the confidence to write more when I got older. And so when I began writing as an adult and in my career, and I had to study it. It's not something that just comes naturally just because you have a pen in hand, you can write. I had to study how to do it, what good grammar was, and I'm still learning, and it's a process that continues. But I think it started early on with some confidence and then grew from there.
Oh, most definitely. So, I mean, that now you said the clock strike midnight. What was the reason behind naming it? You know, the clock strike midnight. Like, you know, what was the meaning behind that, or you know, why did you decide to call it that?
Yes, as the title suggests, it sounds as though there is a deadline and something that's going to happen. Pretty soon, something, you know, it's like, you know, Cinderella and how the clock strikes midnight and then she would turn back into Cinderella after being a princess. So I guess what I was thinking is the book does have this feeling of imminent danger and things about to happen. And as I was writing it, I felt that throughout. And so when I was thinking about what to call it, all of a sudden, it just hit me one day. The clock strikes midnight. It's like feeling that ticking clock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Time is about to run out. Will the main character, who is Janie, make it before the clock strikes midnight? So it turned out to be a perfect title for this particular book.
Oh, okay, so is it like a suspense type thing, suspense or thriller or what?
Yes. It's very much a suspense mystery. It's not... I wouldn't call it a thriller. The genre of thrillers tend to give you the feeling of people being chased. She is a little bit chased, but it's not that same spy thriller feel. Instead, it's more of a suspenseful book with a lot of twists and turns, a lot of mystery, and a lot of surprises. And the mystery is all centered around the reader not knowing really what Janie is up to, not really knowing that, and also not really knowing how Janie's mother died and what Janie is doing in order to destroy what she considers her mother's killer.
Okay, now I also see you got some awards and accolades for your writing. What was that, you know, feeling like when you first, you know, got that first award? Because, you know, after a while you've had, you know, quite a few, but, I mean, when you got that first award, you know, what was that feeling like?
Well, actually, they all feel wonderful. So the first one was probably the most surprising. That was when I won second place in a national contest that was sponsored by Reader's Digest. And I wrote a story and submitted it, not really thinking that it would win because a national contest, there are thousands of entries. And it won second place. I was quite surprised. And the editor of Reader's Digest then got in touch with me and asked me about publishing the story in Reader's Digest as an original story, which we worked on and then was later published. And I think when you ask about writing and how I got started, that was very early in my career, and I think it really boosted me and gave me confidence to continue. But I'd also like to say another thing about contests and awards. As a writer, you don't really always enter with the assumption that you're going to win. It's not the winning that pushes you to enter. If it was, a lot of times many writers wouldn't enter contests because it seems kind of remote because there are so many entries. But you enter with the chance of winning. So it's like, if I don't enter, I certainly won't win. So it gives you a chance. It's like buying that lottery ticket. But also to give you to put your writing out there for someone else to see. And many contests have critiquing afterwards, and so you get some feedback about your work. And also it has a deadline, so you have to submit it by a certain date. And many writers need that deadline in order to push themselves because it's a very self-directed kind of experience to be a writer. So my first experience with that contest taught me that, and as a result, the conversations with the editor taught me an awful lot, not only about writing, but also about dealing with editors. That was a very long answer to your question.
Oh, no, definitely, definitely. I'm glad you explained that, you know, that way everybody gets the full understanding of where you're coming from. Now yeah. I see that in your bio you said that a lot of your characters, you know, remind you of yourself or often your sister. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, how did that come about? Is it just when you started penning, you realized through reading your old material? Like, how did that work out?
Yes. Your characters come from inside you somewhere, and The Clock Strikes Midnight, the story is about two sisters and their conflict. And what I was doing when I was writing it was trying to create a situation where two people who grow up in the same house experience the same tragedy in that house, experience the same things, but both of them respond in very different ways. That's what I was really interested in. So that the two sisters evolved with a bit of a mixture of me in them and my sister in them. So it just made sense for that to happen. Neither are exactly like either one of us, but both carry some of the characteristics that I would say I have or my sister has. Some of the other characters do as well. I think I relate more in The Clock Strikes Midnight to Aunt Sarah, who is the sister's aunt. I feel as though I'm kind of, as the author, as the adult author, more like her than maybe one of the sisters. But at the same time, maybe as a teen, I might have been like one of the sisters. So characterization is a very interesting phenomenon because it's very much your own psyche, but it's also a lot of your experiences. And how else could writers write these villainous characters when they're not villains, or, you know, create characters that are so different from themselves. It's all of our experience mixed up in there. Very interesting process.
Now, have you ever had any friends or relatives say, "Hey, man, that character sounds like me"? You ever had that happen?
I have had people say that they can relate to the characters. They understand them and can relate to them, and I think that's important. Your characters need to feel real, not kind of what's called cardboard characters, where they're, you know, movie star beautiful and they do things that are very predictable. You want them to be absolutely real and genuine, which means your characters make mistakes. And as a reader, sometimes I get frustrated when writers do that. I want to tell the character, no, don't do that. But the writer knows that characters have to make mistakes because a genuine, real person makes mistakes. Sometimes the characters make the wrong choices. That often can create suspense in the book because when the reader knows it's a wrong choice and they see the character going the wrong way, you know, your heart starts beating faster and you want something to happen that will protect that character. So it's really a question of being able to relate to the characters in a genuine way, more so than saying, that's just me when I was, just like me when I was Marlene's age or Janie's age.
Now, have you ever thought about maybe turning one of your books into a movie? Because, you know, people love suspense. Like, you just look at, like, something like a Lifetime Movie Network. Those, you know, I mean, yeah. I've watched the channel, very good movies on there.
Well, I think I've had several readers that have already tried to cast my characters into certain actors. And so I think people do think about that because we do like to watch suspense on the television or in the movies. And I hope maybe that could happen. I don't know. That's kind of a dream. We did make a trailer for this book. It's on the YouTube, on my YouTube channel, and the trailer does show characters in it. And I have to tell you that they don't exactly look like I thought they'd look. So, you know, I'm the typical writer that wants to be involved in the casting. But it's a great trailer. And if any of your listeners are interested in the book and wonder about it, they may want to look at the trailer before they fork out $2.99 to buy the book.
Well, I think that's, I mean, like, that's a safe, like, $299, that's a, to me, that's a safe bet, because it's not like you, spent $22.99, and I've seen books that cost, you know, more than that, but it's like, you know, if you like suspense, you, that's, is that for the e-book, or is that for, like, a paper book copy, this $299?
This is an e-book, and it's only available as an e-book right now. It may be a print book in the next year, but at this point it's an e-book, and it's available on all the sites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, every place where e-books are sold. So, and also on my publisher's website, which is Muse It Up Publishing. That's M-U-S-E-I-T-U-P, all one word. So it's out there, and it's available, and it's not terribly expensive. So I think from what I'm hearing from readers, the investment is definitely worth it. Hello?
Well, definitely. I would suggest, like I said, at that price point, it's one of those things, it's like it's worth giving it a try, whether you're into suspense or not. Like, if you're just a person who likes to read, you know, like me, myself,
That's
I just like to read, like, you know, I think it's insomnia, so some nights I got to read, you know, 100, 150 pages of a book just to get to sleep. But, you know, so, right.
But,
and,
Lee,
you know,
I hope my book doesn't put you to sleep. I hope it keeps you awake.
No, I'm hoping it doesn't either. I'm
just
saying, like, you know, for me at least, I got to read a couple hours just to get to sleep. You know, because you get tired, you get actually just tired of reading, and then you lay down and go to sleep. But I've had those books where, you know, you end up reading it, and then you just can't put it down. You know,
right.
And that's what it sounds like, you know. It sounds like your books would be that if you're writing about suspense, you know, because you don't know what the end is. You're like, well, you're sitting on the edge of your seat wondering what happens next.
Right.
So I
think what I'm hearing from people who have read it is it has kept them up. They are calling it a page-turner. And part of it is they get very involved with the characters, and they want to know what happens to them next. And so it's like I can't put it down because I want to see what's going to happen next. And the next thing you know, they're reading until way past midnight.
Oh, man. Now, I see. So you have already 5 published books, and you're in the work. How many? You have a few more books in the works currently as well?
Yes. I have another book coming out in the spring of next year from the same publisher, Muse It Up Publishing. And it's called E-Murderer. That's a little E, like an email. And it's all about an email person, a person basically who's sending very dangerous, threatening emails anonymously. And that leads to the trail of a serial killer and in that community. And it's the first in a series with a character named Jenna Scally. She's a young woman in graduate school working on her doctorate in criminology, and she is working for a psychiatrist. So there's all kinds of opportunity for her to run into crazy psychotic people. And anyway, this is the first of those books, and it's a very different book than The Clock Strikes Midnight, but it, I think, will be one that also has a lot of suspense and interesting characters.
Now, man, that to me is an amazing talent. How are you able to do that? You know, go from one, you know, genre to the next. And it seems like that E-Murderer is something like totally different from the Clock Strike Midnight. You know, how are you able to put yourself in the mind frame to do that?
Well, it wasn't easy. I had already written The Clock Strikes Midnight for the most part, and when I started on the E-Murderer, I wanted to create a series character, and The Clock Strikes Midnight really doesn't lend itself to a series. It's a standalone book. So I needed to have a story where the characters would go from book to book. And so I had to change it. And I had to create new characters in a new environment doing different things. And that's all the creative process. So that's what I did, and I actually am working on the second book in that series, which I have not submitted yet to the publisher, but that should come out not long after E-Murderer.
Well, that's definitely sounds like the right way. People love, People love storylines of contention. Just look at Harry Potter. People become fanatics.
Yes.
You know, they become very addicted, and they have to get the next chapter.
That's right. That's right. They want the characters. When you enjoy a book and you enjoy the characters, you never want it to end. In fact, Colin Doyle, who wrote Sherlock Holmes, tried to kill him off, if you remember, and where Moriarty knocked him over a cliff. And the readers went berserk. You can't kill off Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, you can. You can't. Like, Sherlock Holmes is a legend. Like, I don't
remember
that part, but I know I would have went berserk if I didn't know you were trying to kill. He's an icon in itself. You can't kill. I mean, you just can't do that.
No.
You're cheating your fans.
Tired.
You're cheating your audience to do that.
The author had to bring him back. And if you remember the next, he brought him back to life. So the readers really controlled that. And so they love a character. You get attached to him. You want to know what happens. You think about all the authors who have done that since then. I think Sir Colin Doyle might have been the very first one with Sherlock Holmes to create that kind of series characters. I don't know for sure if that's true, but my guess would be he was. And so I think that is a very popular thing, and readers like that kind of consistency across books.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, because I know people would really lose it if something happened to Harry Potter.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just it would be pandemonium, social media all over the place. People would be highly upset. Are you doing any speaking engagements coming up or anything like that, Joan?
I'm on a virtual blog tour. And I'd like to encourage people to come. It'll be until the last day is December 19th. Today I have two really interesting stops. One of them, I have a guest post talking about dealing with rejection. All writers have to deal with rejection. And I talk about that a little bit and give some tips on how to deal with rejection. The other one, the other stop today has a review of The Clock Strikes Midnight. The blogger read it and reviewed it and gave it 5 stars, so I'm excited about that. All my stops can be found on my website, on my homepage, so people can easily go there and see where I'm going to be and when, and they can stop in, visit the blog, make a comment, join me on Twitter. And as they do that, they get entered into a contest that will enable them to possibly win a $50 Barnes & Noble or Amazon gift card. So it's great incentive, and so I encourage people to join me there. My website is easy to find. It's www.joancurtis.com.
Now, Joan, with the exposure of the internet, can you tell me how that's really changed the game for authors? Because I know before it was like it seemed like it was so much more legwork involved, because you had like a paperback book and you had to go inside of these bookstores or libraries or something like that. But now you can reach a mass of people. How has this internet thing really helped out writers?
It's helped and it's hurt us. I can say two things. It has helped in exactly the way you described. No longer do you have to leave your house and go out and talk about your book. You can do it all over the internet, through Twitter, through Facebook author pages, through your Amazon author page. And there are many ways, through Goodreads. That's another place where there are a lot of readers. So you can have what I'm doing, a virtual blog tour. Instead of going all over the country from bookstore to bookstore, as you pointed out, you can do it right from your home, and that has really helped. I would hate to be going from place to place. With my previous books, before the internet really took off, and because they were business books, I did some book signings in bookstores, and it's really kind of sad, because you go and maybe 30 or 40 people come, and that's a pretty good turnout. But at the same time, that's only 30 or 40 people, where on a blog tour, you can see thousands of people and get exposure from thousands of people. So it really does increase the opportunity to increase your visibility, but it also increases the amount of work. Writers, instead of writing, are constantly tweeting or putting status updates or commenting on blogs or writing their own blogs. And all of that is very, very time-consuming. And it's a struggle that we writers are dealing with now. How do we balance all of that with spending time creating our characters and creating our stories?
Oh, definitely. That makes sense. That makes sense. So it's kind of like nowadays, it's kind of like a combination of both. You kind of got to, you got to do your internet. You got to be internet savvy, but you also would want to get out and, be able to, shake hands and touch the people.
That's right. I have talked to a number of writers. I do a lot of interviews on my blog with other writers, and some of them are very internet savvy. Most of us are not, and we've had to learn. But I have talked to those that still do a lot of face-to-face things. It's exhausting, but the nice thing is they do get to interact with their readers, and that is something you miss when you do it primarily through the social media. So readers need to be talking to writers to tell us what they like, what they don't like, what they want to read next, that kind of thing. So it's a balance, and I think as time goes on, we'll do more. I think the internet's going to be much more prominent, but at the same time, I think more writers will want to get out there and do some face-to-face, even if it's being on panels during conferences and meeting other writers and readers.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, what's next, Joan? What can we expect in the future? What can we expect, coming in 2015?
Well, in 2015, like I say, in the spring, The E-Murderer will be released, and I don't know exactly when, but that'll be in the spring of 2015. And I am hoping that the second one will come out probably in the fall of 2015, the second one in that series. Meantime, I'm currently working on another standalone book, which may come out the following year. So there are a number of things coming up, and I would encourage readers, if they like my writing, to join me on my blog. And also, I am joining a number of writers on a story blog that we're going to launch in January. And I'll talk more about that on my blog. But if they like writing and they're curious about it and they want to follow me on my blog and on Twitter and all kinds of places, they can keep up with it and find out what's happening in the next year and also what's happening with other writers.
Now, do you have anybody you want to mention on the show, anybody you want to give a shout-out to, or somebody who may have helped you along the way, anything like that?
Well, I've had a lot of help from my husband. It's really funny because all the other writers are talking about how they've read each chapter to their spouse. Chapter by chapter, one of them said she has to keep hitting him to keep him awake as she reads it to him, which I thought was funny. But my husband's very helpful, and he gives me good feedback. I would also say I have a very good editor who has helped me a lot. Her name is Terry Valentine. She's currently reading my newest manuscript, and she's excellent and gave me some good feedback. And I would also like to say something nice about my publisher. Muse It Up Publishing is an incredible community. It's not just the publisher. It's all the writers. They help each other. They talk to each other. And they connect with each other. Because writing can be a very lonely process. And being connected with other writers is very important. So there are a lot of people that help along the way, and I'd like all of them to just know that I appreciate all their help, everyone that's helped me and encouraged me.
And one more time, in case someone's listening who wants to connect with you, tell the listeners how they can connect with you, the best ways to get in contact with Joan Curtis.
The best way is on my website, and that's www.joancurtis.com. You can find me there. If you Google Joan Curtis, I think I come up first now. If you Google Joan C. Curtis, I definitely come up first. But it's easiest to find me on the website and to find my newest book, to find out the blog tour, and to really stay in touch that way.
Well, most definitely. I definitely want to thank you for being part of the show. I definitely enjoyed the interview. Y'all check out Joan C. Curtis. Check out her new book, The Clock Strikes Midnight. You can Google her, Joan C. Curtis, and you can get all the information. She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. She's on LinkedIn. She's everywhere. She's everywhere she needs to be. So, you know, y'all definitely, reach out to her if you want more information, or if you want to try to get her for some sort of speaking engagement or something like that. Hold the line. We're going to take a quick pause for the calls. We'll be right back. Especially Thursdays, Real Talk with Lee.